Perek and Tanach, Shmuel Beit, Perek Yud. Yesterday we learned of the beginning of a new period in David's life, in which we talked about prior to that the actual Keser Malchus that was given over to him, and concluded with a list of the Gibori David, in the sense of the ones who took responsibility for various elements, found that we had telescoped the entire future into one Perek in terms of the wars that and up expanding Eretz Yisrael to Nahar Prat, and David is now the Ish Milchama, and that is closed. We then began yesterday a new section which talks about David's chesed. This is so profound, that a definition of Malchei Yehuda, but we'll find later on that the Goyim talk out in Malachim, oh yes, the Malchei, they're Malchei Chesed, which of course is always the problem that is with us throughout history, is that we're always trying to be nice. And the first thing that David does is immediately turn to Chesed, immediately after we discover his Malchus. So then he does Tzedakah U'Mishpat. And then the very next word is David is searching for survivors of Beit Sha'ul, not to do what would normally be done to the competitors, which is make sure that nobody survives, but on the contrary, let me find a survivor so at least I can do the type of chesed that should have been done to the children of Yonatan, and I was never zeicha to do that. A completely backward way of looking and the way people would look at that time, and even the way that we saw that Avner and that Yoav took for granted as part of the interrelationship of Beis Dovin and Beis Shaul, it's all competition, it's all hatred, it was exactly the opposite. Unfortunately, there were roots of tragedy that were planted in yesterday's parak, and those roots blossom forth into the misuse of chesed in this parak. We never knew why it was that David had a right back in the 8th parak to attack people that the Torah says you're not allowed to attack. Either openly, you're not allowed to take Esav, you're not allowed to take Ammon, you're not allowed to take Moab. The Plishtim have a bris with you from the days of the Oves. Lavan has Yagar Sadus to prevent Aram. Every one of those countries is the one that David fights. We don't know the background to that. We don't know how it happened. Now, in this parak, we find out how it happened. It happened by being nice. So, vayi acharechen, vayomot melech b'nei Amon, vayimlo chanun b'no tachtav. Now, Nachash, and remember that Nachash wasn't exactly a nice guy. He was the one that needed to be confronted by Shaul. But David became friendly with Nachash. How did that happen? What happened was, say Chazal, that when David had left his family with the Melech of Moab, thinking that Moab will treat me right because I am a Moabi and we come from the same stock. Everybody knows I go back to Rut HaMoaviyan. It's not Stam. I mean, it's the Mishpachat HaMelucha. Remember that these were all children, the princesses that went together, but both Rut and Orpah were Eglon's children, daughters. They were princesses. So obviously there was a great deal of respect for David, and he felt that he could capitalize on that when he was running away from Shaul to go to the enemies, and he could trust them with his family. What happened was is that the king of Moab murdered his entire family, his father, his mother, all of his brothers. There was one person that is left, which we find in Divrei HaYamim, that is called Elihu. So it says, Liyehuda Elihu Me'achi David, the only one that was left. Everyone was murdered. Horrible. It's like, you know, the Russians make so much of the murder of the Tsar, we don't even like mention it. But this, the entire family was wiped out. One child, Elihu, obviously made his way out, because we are recorded in Divrei HaYamim, which is basically the record of the development of the Melucha, that Yehuda still had from David one other member of the royal family of Yisha. So how did he get away? So Chazal tell us that this Elihu left Melech Bnei Ammon and went in Melech Moab and managed to escape to Ammon. So Ammon was led by Nachash. Nachash was an enemy of Shaul, and he felt that he was on the side of my enemy's enemy is my friend. So it's David, who we viewed as fighting Shaul, he wanted to protect. The king of Moab, says the Medrash, sends messengers to Melech Ammon asking him, someone escaped from the Davidian dynasty. Did anybody come to you? Nachash says, no. He hides him. And he says, well, if he ever comes, let me know. So now David feels a debt of gratitude. His only brother was saved by Nachash. And so when Nachash dies, his son, Hanun, becomes the king. Nice name. You'd think that Hanun is all ready for Chesed. So David calls in his visors. He says, "Vayomer David eseh Chesed im Hanun ben Nachash, kasher asa aviv imadi Chesed." And we don't know what that Chesed is, but this is what Chazal taught. That was the Chesed he's being meramis to. So Nachash did Chesed with me. I feel that I owe it to him to be Menachem, his son, and to be Machabim. Vayishlach David leNachamo biyad avadav el aviv. And so he wanted to be Menachem, and he was sitting shiva, so to speak, about his father. And so David's messengers arrive. And this causes a tremendous stir. Because the Avadim, the Sarei Bnei Amon, the Avadim of Hanun. So the Sarei Bnei Amon tell to Hanun, Adonaiam, you can't really believe that this is what it appears to me. You'd have to be crazy. I mean, how much of a non-realist are you? You really believe this? That he cares about your father. That this sneaky, no good Nick, who has been the least trustworthy guy around here, and who's an upstart that can eventually be a real danger to us, all of a sudden, he's being nice. Halo bavor chakor ta'ir l'ragla ulafcha shalach David et avadav elecha. The only reason that he's here is for information. So meanwhile, we're going to be nice, and he's going to come in, and we'll show him around. And believe me, the video cameras are sending back images of this whole thing to David. So don't be a fool. Chazal say this was not dumb. They were right. Because what they said is, you know perfectly well, and this we know from other Midrashim, that that's exactly why that's why Nachash said, just give me the Sefer Torah, the place where it says, Lo Yavam Anir Moavi Bekal, give me that. That's what I want. The Machmad. That's the Machmad Einechem. Rip that out and find. Now, of course, one of the other things that it says, Lo tidrosh shlomam v'tovatam kol hayamim. You're telling me that David, who is known to be the religious king, is going to be over on the Isser that's written in the Torah that we're all aware of, Lo tidrosh shlomam, and he's coming to be doresh shlomcha, and you believe it. You got to be crazy. But the fact is that the Medrash says, yeah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to David, I tell you, Lo tidrosh shlomam v'tovatam kol hayamim, but you decided, I have to do chesed. So, ani katavti Lo tidrosh shlomam, v'ata oseh imam gibinut chesed. And here, amazingly, is exactly the words that are told to Shaul, al tehi tzadik harbe. So that we have the same nisyonot that we saw happening to Shaul in terms of Amalek. Now, David falls into this. Shalo yehe adam mivater ala Torah. You want to go ahead and do chesed? Sof bali de bizayon. You try to do chesed with people like this, in the end, all you get out of it is bushot. And this is exactly what happens now. Vayikach Hanun et avdei David. So Hanun says, yeah, you want to be Menachem Avil? I'll show you how we do that around here. He shaves off half their beard. Vayigalach et chatzi zekanam. Vayichrot et madvehen. Bachetzi, tears their pants into two. Achitotehem, so that their rear ends are sticking out. So now you're happy? Vayishalchem, it sends them out exposed and horrifically embarrassed. Yeah, and why don't you just walk through the country like that? Go back home. So the word gets out that this is what happens. Vayagidu leDavid, some messengers come and say, this is what happened. Vayishlach leKratam, so he sends messengers to meet them with clothes and so on. I mean, they were, this is horrible. You're coming as a diplomatic representation of the kingdom. And this is just horrific on a personal level. And I mean, that's just horrible. Just stay there. So come back when your beard's free grown with your new clothes on. Meanwhile, spend some time. So that's the bushot that we're referring to. But now they understood perfectly well that there's no way that David could sit back and take this sitting down, because this is a direct attack on the chashivas of Yisrael, which ultimately will lead them to be mevazeh, the power of David, and in the end will be a danger for the country. So he needed to react to this. So Vayiskru et Aram Beit Rehov et Aram Tzova, Esrim Elef Ragli, Vet Melech Ma'acha Elef Ish, and Ish Tov, that's the Eretz Tov that we heard on before, Shneimasar Elef Ish. Now these wars were mentioned earlier. How did they happen? Therefore, says the Medrash, you were the one who started all of those wars. Because if you had listened in the first place, then none of this would have happened. So you go ahead, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Maziro lo yavo amon yomo avi bekal Hashem. Lo tidrosh lomam vetovatam. V'hu mevatel divrei Elokam. Okay, so if that's the case, this is what happens to you. Now you're going to have to fight all of these battles. Balidei milchama, imaram na'araim, malchei tzova, malchei ma'achaz, we're going to see, ibnei amon. He's going to have war all over because he wants to be nice. That's what happens when you try to be nice. So Memela, the wars that we learned about before, this is the Ramban says. The halacha lemaisa is, as the Medrash is Dairesh, lo tidrosh lomam v'tovatam kol hayamim has halachic application. What is that halachic application? Ki titzar yirli lachem aleha, you have to be doresh lomam. Yochol af le'elokein talmud lomar lo tidrosh lomam. So this means that all of the dinim of the milchama are changed, but I thought you can't fight them at all. It says, don't be midgar behem milchama, says the Ramban. Don't be midgar behem milchama. But if they're porates the brit first, then obviously you have to teach them a lesson. So now what happens is that because they did this, he has to teach them a lesson. But they're not sitting back for the lesson because they want total war. So they go out and they involve now the people that David otherwise wouldn't have been able to attack. So Aram and Aram Tzova and Moab ends up getting involved. All of the things that we saw, and we didn't understand how he's warring against the people that he's not allowed to war, all of this started by what they call machvaot. Do something nice. Show them that you're nice. That's surely the way to get their appreciation. Okay, so at least Chas v'Shalom didn't go to the other, Al Tistak Harbe, Al Tirsha Harbe, which is the Mice of Novi Rakonim. That didn't happen to David, but this opens up the most agum period of David's life because it leads directly to the story of Bathsheba in the most strange way. Imagine what's happening here. The countries around you are building an army for a total war. They didn't do this waiting for you to come back and teach them a lesson. If they did this, it means that they are preparing for war. What's the din in such a case? We said, the melech is yotzei lefanecha. There's no such thing as the king standing behind and sending an army out. So what would you think would be the thing to do? Lahazik. We find that lashon all over. So go for a mass mobilization. Be mazik Yisrael. Get together an army. David goes out, berosh hatzava, and fights this war. Because obviously they only did this because they know that they've got backing. No, David doesn't do this. All of these people are hired. Vayishma David. Now David hears about this. It's not as if he didn't know. What does he do? Vayishlach et Yoav ve'kol hatzava giborim. He does not respond with mobilization. Does not call up an army. He has his tzava hagiborim, the special people that we've seen all along have been with him, trained for war. That he keeps a small standing army, and he sends them with Yoav, and he doesn't go out himself. So the very fact that he didn't go out himself is an indication that he did not want this to be seen as a milchama of kivush at all. This is a small defensive action. He stays in Yerushalayim, as we're going to see, and that's how he gets into trouble. So, Vayetzu b'nei Amon, Vayarchu milchama petach hashar. So now, amazingly, Yoav is caught off guard by this. He did not think that these tens of thousands of soldiers are going to be coming from behind, from the north, while he's fighting in the south, attacking Rabat b'nei Amon, right? So he's there at the gates of Rabat. And there, all of a sudden, so the B'nai Amon come out as if they're going to fight at the gateway to Amman. And Aram Tzova and Rehov and Ishtov and Ma'acha, they are out there, Levadam Basadeh, on the flatlands. This is Medva, as we'll see. So Medva is the place where it would be great for chariots, horses, and so on. The rest of the territory is rocky. And he gets caught also with his pants down, so to speak, because all of a sudden he's got an enormous army behind him. He only has a shock troop corps. He doesn't have the army that's out. And he's been left behind out here with David back in Yerushalayim without orders about how to fight this thing. It's a horrible situation. Now he suddenly is caught out. And he's got a two-front war that he was not prepared for. So what he does is, he takes his main troops, the best, and instead of going with them to fight Ammon, who's now coming out of their holes in Ammon, he turns to fight Aram, because that's going to be the main battle. Obviously, there's tens of thousands of soldiers here, mercenaries. And what he does is, the second-class soldiers, et yeter ha'am natan b'yad avshai achiv zavisha, v'yaroch likrat b'nei Ammon. So that these now are going to be set aside. Again, these are small corps. They're going to be used against Ammon, led by Avishai, and he's going to be fighting on the northern end himself, Yoab, with his group, against the mercenaries that are coming from Aram. Now, he tells Avishai, Vayomer, im techezak Aram mimeni, if you see that we're losing, then you've got to leave Ammon and prepare for war backing me. So in other words, that means what we're talking about over here, a strategy meeting. It's obviously not just this one sentence. In other words, okay, here's what you'll do. This is the way that you'll get there. This is how it is that you're going to attack to open up another front against them. This is how you're going to leave enough soldiers behind to protect the rear and so on and so forth. I mean, we don't need to know all of the details. This is what I'm going to do. And then he gives over a message to all of his soldiers. So they stand there. Chazak v'nit chazak, which is very similar to the story of Yehoshua against immensely greater forces. That's chazak v'nit chazak. That's the idea that we saw earlier, that there are certain things that need chizak. Teira, maisim teirim, tefila, milchama. This is the chazak v'nit chazak. V'ad amenu v'ad arei Eloheinu. So what does that mean? It means that they saw this as an existential threat. I mean, they were nowhere near Arei Eloheinu. What are they saying about our... In other words, if we're wiped out with this, and David thinks he's sitting back in Yerushalayim, it's a one-day march. Because there's nothing... There's no troops that are going to protect the country, going to leave the country wide open. I don't know how we got caught in this kind of situation, but this is desperate. So that... I mean, this could mean the loss of the whole country. V'adonoyah asa tov beinav. Now that, in a way, is a shtuch against David. Now, in other words, he wasn't doing what was right by Ne'amoka. I mean, that's part of the whole thing. We get into this trouble. We understand that, obviously, HaKadosh Baruch Hu could be Matzil, Begadol, Begadol. This is showing the godless of Yoav over here. And instead of giving up in this kind of situation, we're used to David doing crazy things. I mean, there's Yoav taking on with his few soldiers. He's taking on tens of thousands of soldiers. I mean, it's like unbelievable. So Yoav is no slouch when it comes to Aved HaShemayim. So okay, he understands we're going to recreate now the milchoma of Yehoshua. And it starts with the people in Yericho, which is remarkable. What do we need to know? Where they stood. So in other words, we're going back now to the Kivush from Yericho. The country's left open. People can come now in. And this is a milchama kiyumit, as they say today. Not just a small action. Vayigash Yoav va'am asher imo l'milchama ba'aram, and thank God v'yanusu mipanav. Again, mamish min hashamayim, they run. Uvnei Ammon ra'u ki nas aram. So now Bnei Ammon see that Aram has been defeated. So now they figure, oh my God, we better get out of here, even though it's only Avishai and a couple of troops, you know. Vayanusu mipanav Avishai, they have all here, so they come back into the town and lock the door. So Yoav says, well, now sure is not the time I'm going to attack Ammon. So Vayoshev Yoav me'al b'nei Ammon v'yavo Yerushalayim. So he says, okay, I'm going back for reinforcements. We're certainly not going to pursue this at this point. So then they see v'yar Aram ki nigaf v'nei Yisrael v'yasfu yochad. There's no reason why this should end it, because it was a Nisa. So then when they turn around, they say, how did that happen? Why did everybody run away? Right? So obviously they regroup. Meanwhile, Yoav is going back home. So it's clear that for David to respond, it needs to be a response to a complete pirtza of everything that those Ummas had committed themselves to. So in other words, if I'll go and I'll attack Bnei Ammon, and they have mercenaries to protect them against my attack, I don't have a right to go and invade Aram and to bring the borders all the way up to Nahar Prat, which is what he ended up doing. So this idea, and the Ramban talks out, the fact that they need to be poreitz. In order to be poreitz, I need to wait until there's an offensive war against Israel. I don't know that there is an offensive war against Israel. So if I go out now with a full mobilization, and I go on the attack, I'm not going to stop. I'm not going to mobilize for defense. Yoav can take care of defense. I'm going to mobilize when this is a war. And it can only be turned into a war by their turning around and saying, let's invade. Oh, okay. Now already we're talking. So to teach you a lesson, I have a right to do. To defeat and take over Ammon, I don't have a right to do. To protect the country from the people that are going to help Ammon, okay, that's a defensive action. To go and attack and move the boundaries of the country up to Nahar Parat to attack, as we saw, Aram Tsova, Aram Naharaim, Hamat, the areas around Hamat, Medva, all of the people that are going to end up being taken over. Toli, in this war, we need to have grounds for Hema Portsu. And so David clearly does not want the country to perceive that they are in a state of war. It's not a war of conquering. Only afterwards does it turn into a war of conquering. And so they turn around now. And Vayishlach Hadad Ezer, so Hadad Ezer goes for the big boys. Because until now, okay, he says, you know, we were hired to protect Bnei Ammon. Well, this was an outrageous rout. It's not going to be protection anymore. This is our honor at stake. So he goes, Vayotzeh Arama Shemeivra Anar Vayavochelam. He calls out the entire army.
He was a mercenary.
They send Vayishkiru at Aram. He hired them. So Bnei Ammon had hired protection. David's not going to go fight a war of conquest against hired protection. That's like bringing out the army to fight the mafia. This is a small issue. But now that was the sting operation. So Yoav was meant to sting, and he stung all right. And then Hadad-Ezer comes out, calls out his army. Now it's my honor on the line. And calls out Shovach. Sar Tzavah Hadad-Ezer Lifneim. Now Chazal say, the guy is called Shovach, because that's the way he was built. It's like calling somebody Mr. Tank. I mean, nobody's called Mr. Tank. Unless he really is Mr. T. I mean, this guy was, because I'll put him together with Goliath and the other children, the three brothers of Goliath. So the five enemies of David among the Umays were the four children of Orpah and Shovach. He's on that level. So this guy's a monster. Shovach has had a whole building for the birds to be a dovecot. Right, so this is Mr. Walking House, basically, is what you would call it. Right, so this guy, this guy is no fun. So he's called out Shovach now, so with the army, and that's the Sar Tzva Hadad-Ezer. He's Lifneim. He's coming out in front. Vayugat David. So now David hears them. Okay, now we got some serious movement. This is what I've been waiting for. So now Vayesofik O Yisrael. Vayavorat hayardein, vayavor chelama, and vayarchu aram lekrak David, vayilachamo imo. Okay, now we've got a real war on our hands. Vayonas aram mipnei Yisrael, vayarog David me'aram shva me'od rechev. So 700 tanks he takes out. Arbaim elef prashim, this is big. 40,000 now, cavalry. Ve'et shovach tzar tzvo hika vayomotcham. He destroys shovach. And Hadad-Ezer, of course. Hadad-Ezer was the guy in charge of everybody. They all now accept that they are tribute to Yisrael. It's the last time that they ever decided to come out to help anybody against Yisrael. But meanwhile, as we saw, this really ends up dragging David all the way out to Nahar Prat. So the Groz interpretation of the Nahar Prat back in Chet, where the Lashon of the Pasuk is Vayach David et Hadad-Ezer ben Rehob Melech Tzava Belechto Lashiv Yado ben Nahar Prat. So everybody learns that means the Malchei Aram wanted to put now their their boundary there. But the Gra understands it, that the idea over here is that this was David's need to be koveya the gvulais, that he was putting now a siman of the gvul, that we're taking over that area of Nahar Parat. So that this was the, one could call it the excuse war, but Lamaisa, it was the result of the original kindness of David, which he immediately obviously understood of what he had done wrong, how it was that this was Al Tzedak Harbeh, and instead of getting caught in the problem the way Shaul did, he allowed the problem to become a solution. So that the only way that it would be able to be Mekayim, the messianic vision, which he calls himself later, Mashiach Elokei Yaakov, he sees himself in those terms, to being able to take the entire Eretz Yisrael as it was originally given to the Avais, is to make certain that those Umais would think that they had a right to be able to fight against Yisrael.